The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth.
You're listening to Truth Infusion. And now for your host, David Markham.
Well, I'm extremely excited about what God is going to do for us today. I have been for a little while now. I've got a guest in the studio. I'm looking forward to introducing him to you and looking forward to what God's going to do through Truth Infusion today. This is the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries, and it's just always thrilling to me to think that what we're saying and doing in this little studio is going to be able to reach you wherever you are, by radio, by internet. That's an exciting thing. So let's start out with a quick word of prayer, and then I want to introduce a good friend of mine to you. Heavenly Father, I pray that whoever may be listening to these words today, that they would not hear David or Jeremiah, but they would hear your words, Lord, and they would hear your ministry and your teaching. It would be applied to their heart and life, and they would be made better for it. Make us more like Jesus Christ, for it's in His name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, a few months ago now, God brought me to meet this fellow. In fact, he emailed me and said, "Hey, let's have lunch." Didn't even know him, and but I was just definitely drawn to do that. And we ate Mexican food together, which is always a good thing. And I want to introduce you a pastor friend of mine from Atlanta, Texas, Mr. Jeremiah Moss is in the studio. So, Jeremiah, I'm glad that you're here with me today.
Thank you, David. This is a wonderful, exciting experience to be with you. Thank God for your ministry, Truth Infusion.
Thank you.
And what God's doing through your life.
Amen. So, got a brand new work going on in Atlanta, Texas, and you're pastoring there. Tell us a little bit about the church. I want to give you a second to tell them about what's going on.
Right now, we are a mission or extension of Cross Life Church, El Dorado, Arkansas. Pastor is Dr. Dwayne Miller. We have been there now almost 10 months and going through a transition period right now, and God is really pouring out His Spirit. Mm-hmm. We're seeing many come to know the Lord and Savior, marriages restored,
Amen.
People being healed, and more importantly, we're making much about Jesus.
Amen. And I can bear witness to this firsthand because I've been in several of these services, listened to Brother Jeremiah preach. Sang for you guys a little bit, led some
yes.
worship some, got to preach for you one time, and God's just forming a neat relationship with us and with the body there with you guys in your church. And it's a wonderful group of people. If you're around Atlanta and you're looking for somewhere to go, tell them where to go and what time that it starts on Sunday.
Right now on Sundays we are meeting, meaning if you're from the Cass County area, you know where Horn Enterprise is there on 77. We are renting that facility on Sunday mornings from 10 to 11:30. We have one service, and then we have several missional community groups throughout the city there, the town, the area of Atlanta,
yeah.
in different homes.
Amen. And I just recommend that you do that. Okay, so the last month or couple of months, I've been able to come two or three times to service, and you've been preaching on the Holy Spirit. Now, this has been going on for a little while with you. Is this something God's been leading you to do here for a little while now?
Yes, sir. For the last, I guess, 2 or 3 months, being a church plant, I wanted to really emphasize the importance of the power of God. And we know the power of God comes from the ministering spirit of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And we have seen God. I just want to give a testimony. The last 6, 7 weeks, we've had seen more people commit their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, fired up, excited.
Yes.
I mean, God using them supernaturally to do kingdom work.
Amen.
And then we have in the last 8 months together. And so I'm really excited about this study of life with the Holy Spirit.
And it's really all transitioned on bringing this word about the Holy Spirit into the church. That's when you saw this really take off.
Yes, sir. For us, it was, I wanted to do it in a way that wasn't spooky
yeah.
or goofy,
yeah.
But a way that was straight from the Word of God. And this is what the Bible says, not Pastor Jeremiah, but this is what Jesus even said and
yeah.
spoke about. And it's just like, I see with those that have a church background that are coming into the fellowship, light bulbs going off. And of course, those who have no church background, they're just, it's like putting a gas to a fire. Boy,
Amen.
They're excited.
Well, God's timing, it's always perfect. He's never late. He's always on time. And here lately, this is what I've been doing through Truth Infusion Radio, is teaching on the Holy Spirit. So I don't have any problem believing that God orchestrated this timing with you here with me to kind of dovetail right into what we've already been talking about in the last few weeks. So what I wanted Jeremiah to do, I asked him to come in, and I wanted to give a time to get to know him and let you get to know him. But really, this is about infusing truth into the body. Mm-hmm. So I asked him to bring some of the teaching and the information that he has been blessed with and he's been transferring out to his people here lately. Life with the Holy Spirit. Where did you start at with your church? And let's get into this teaching.
Okay, great. To be honest with you, one thing with this church plant, of course, Cass County, Atlanta, Texas, was not the priority, was not our first pick to start a new work. We were looking at the metropolitan areas like north of Dallas towards the Denton area. Yeah. But by God's divine providence, we are located. Now my wife, we laugh. We said, they don't even have a Starbucks. You know, why do they need another church?
Atlanta doesn't have one.
so we moved there, and it looked like everybody was moving out, but we wanted to give God praise.
Yes.
And I really believe that God wanted to bring life to something that was dead. And we did a survey by just walking around. I say a survey. I asked the congregation one Sunday morning about 10 a.m. I said, you know, traditional time is about 11 a.m. Let's go around the neighborhood, and if you see people at home, stop at their driveway, pray over them, and then move to the next house, you know. And within 2 mile radius, we went to 241 homes.
Wow.
In 241 homes, there was 182 families at home.
Yeah.
During
church hours on Sunday morning.
The traditional times, yes, that you would see that people were maybe at church. And just because people are at church doesn't mean that they're born again believers, but we're right. looking for unchurched people. We're looking right. for folks that do not know the King of Kings as we know him. And so I realized real fast that in our county, people know what a church building looks like.
Uh-huh.
They know the formalities. They know the lingo. But they don't know the Jesus that has the power to raise them from the dead to life. And
Amen.
So we began praying through that. And we're not program driven.
Mm-hmm.
And from my heart, I want to share a little bit about my heart.
Yes,
and I'm not speaking for everybody, but I will tell you, I'm a third generation pastor,
mm-hmm.
and I grew up Southern Baptist. My dad was the pastor at First Baptist St. Augustine. My dad is the greatest man of God that I know, mentor. But one thing that I was seeing, even in my three pastors prior to this, we were program driven.
Yeah.
Meaning that we had a lot of mechanics going on, and we went through the monotony, the same old routine, producing the same results. And the Holy Spirit began to convict me and say, if I was to remove myself from the New Testament Church of America right now, the church would continue to go as it would. And wouldn't you know that I wasn't there?
I agree with you 100%. In the ministry that I'm in with Truth Infusion, I'm in several different churches ministering in teaching, preaching, music. I agree 100% with what you're saying. In fact, when you talk to the average church goer and you ask them, why are you at this church? You know what they're going to tell you. Well, I like the kids program. I like what the youth's doing. On Sunday afternoons, we do this. On Wednesday mornings, we do this. Okay, we haven't talked about God yet. We haven't talked about the power of what's going on through the message or the word or the ministries. We're talking about programs and what does a church do for me, not what am I doing for the church. So I agree. I hear that and see that all the time.
Right, and I get asked that as a pastor, especially when they find out we haven't done right now. God hadn't put on our heart to do any marketing or advertising about what God's doing through our church plant there. But we want the Holy Spirit to move.
That's right.
We want God to build His church. And we really believe that he's able to do that. He says he will do it, and so we believe that. And so what we're having as people come in sometimes, that's their first question. You know, what programs do you have, or what are you doing for our children?
What can you do for me?
That's the number one thing.
And, the kids' programs?
And we're not against that. But right now in developing, one thing I share with our people is we want the presence of God.
Mm-hmm.
And if we have the presence and the power of God,
right,
we're going to transform our children's lives and for eternity. And so right now, before we birth, or even, right, we've been there now about 8 months, 9 months, and nobody has that's a part of the fellowship has even thought about starting a program, because they are living the life.
Yeah.
And it's an everyday thing, and I'm excited about it. Now, some people that have come in from a traditional church mindset, they struggle with the ideal, because we are a generation, we're a society that if we're not working, we're not doing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we evaluate our success, is by how much production that we're doing. And the truth is this, I've learned, if we could do more on our knees within the power of the Holy Spirit than we've ever thought about walking and doing things on our own.
Yep, because ultimately, we finally get ourselves out of the way.
That's right.
And open the door for God to do what only He can do anyhow. I've said this a lot of times, just exactly what you're saying. In every other aspect of our lives, whether it be at home or at work or at play, what we get out of that part of our lives is based on what we put into it. So if you want that promotion at work, you got to do more, be there more, offer more, work harder, and that may gain you, you know, promotion. It doesn't work like that, though, in the economy of God.
That's right.
The economy of God is not do more so you can get more. It's really get out of my way so that I can give you everything I want to give you. And that's a hard concept for most people to come to, because we're so ingrained and trained to do it the other way.
Right.
And so that's why you see, I believe, in every church, most every church in every corner of our city is geared to stats, numbers, and most of the time those numbers aren't how many people did we get saved last year. It's most of the time how much growth did we have in this classroom, or how many more buses did we buy, and how much more money did we bring in, how many more building projects have we put up. And so we lose the commission of Christ to go out and disciple, save the world, preach the gospel, and disciple, and we turn it into business ethics in a lot of cases.
I always get a strange look when people ask, are y'all doing Sunday school? And you know, I'm not against Sunday school.
Yeah.
Right now, that's not the direction that the Lord is leading us. We're waiting on God to continue to develop what He's doing in our church. But I wanted people to know there's importance in community,
mm-hmm.
and getting together. So we started meeting at homes and in people's homes. And as it grew, you were there one Sunday, and it was jam-packed with people, and we had to move out. And but we don't want to lose that community relationship with one another around the Word of God. So we started out praying. I started doing series on prayer,
mm-hmm.
and we are a Southern Baptist church that, when you talk about prayer and fasting,
yeah,
you know, that can be controversial to some, and it's almost like a foreign concept in our American church today. Fasting, what are you talking about? And but I believe in that. I believe that the Bible teaches that. But with this series, Life of the Holy Spirit, I knew that it was going to be a controversial to some, because whenever you say that, especially, I grew up in a Baptist church, and if somebody said Holy Spirit, there might be a deacon's meeting to vote that person out of the
church.
Right
after church,
you know?
Yeah.
And so I was always told after I gave my life to the Lord, I was 20 years old, and right after that, God called me to preach, and so I knew to be a preacher, you had to go to a school. You had to go get educated. Mm-hmm. And so I went to East Texas Baptist University. And there I squeezed 5 years into four. And so and saw God do amazing things. But one thing that I didn't hear talk about was the Holy Spirit.
Is that right?
And I could tell you everything about apologetics, hermeneutics, and things of that nature. But I could tell you very little about the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, I had one guy tell me, if they teach about the Holy Spirit, you'd be very cautious. But if one of your professors says Holy Ghost, you better change your class and go to another class.
Because they just went charismatic on you there.
Yeah, they would go charismatic. And and so there was an extremism there that they were afraid of.
Yes. And I find that true in most churches. We were talking about this before we started recording. It seems like where the Holy Ghost is concerned, we fall into extremes, and God usually operates somewhere in the scriptural middle, and so this is a teaching that is important for every Christian, every congregation. I don't care your denomination. We have to understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit. When we come back from the break, Pastor Jeremiah is going to continue to get us into talking about life with the Holy Spirit.
Hey guys, this is Pastor Jeremiah of Cross Life Church, Atlanta, Texas. I am excited to share with you, we are in the developing stages of a church plant that is simple, missional, and spirit-filled. Cross Life has a desire to encourage God's people to pursue His presence, His power, and to reach people with love relationships. It is a simple philosophy. Love God and love people. Join us as we make much of Jesus. For more information, check out jeremiahmossministries.com.
Hey, Truth Infusion listeners, this is David. I need you to do something for me. I want to take some of our radio shows and use them like a question and answer time. I want to take the questions that you have, apply the Word of God to them, and see if I can help you come up with some answers to some stuff perhaps you've been struggling with. So you go to truthinfusion@gmail.com and send me your questions. truthinfusion@gmail.com, and you keep seeking the truth.
Do you or your loved one need the support of Compassionate Home Healthcare Services? Truth Infusion Ministries would love to recommend Kelton Home Health for your home health needs. They offer skilled nursing care, home health aides, and multiple forms of therapy, all in the comfort of your home. For more information, call 903-796-4040. That's 903-796-4040. Kelton Home Health, enriching lives every day.
All right, Truth Seekers, welcome back. I'm excited about what we're doing in the studio today. I got a friend of mine, Pastor Jeremiah Moss, is here with me. We were discussing in the first segment that God's put on your heart to start teaching about the Holy Spirit. And you're seeing the effects of that really take over in the church and what God's doing in power in the church. So let's continue talking about life with the Holy Spirit.
And we were talking about being controversial, and especially growing up as a young preacher, and still young. The more I learn, I don't know.
That's right. Amen.
And I don't want to put God in a box. And I guess back in 2006, I was pastoring my second church, and we were seeing an outpour of the Holy Spirit. There was people being saved, and brother, there were something like 19 weeks in a row. But for me, as a young preacher, I wanted recognition, to be honest with you. I wanted to be the next pastor of the largest Southern Baptist church, and I couldn't wait to the association annual meeting to be able to walk across the stage and be told that the church I was pastoring led the association in baptism and growth, and I was told that, you know, you had to have the right education. And so after ETBU, went to Southwestern and then went to Louisiana Baptist and got all the education I possibly could, because I wanted to climb the ladder of
building
success.
That resume.
That's right. And so for me, that's what was happening. And the church was growing exponentially. Man, it was exciting seeing what God and there and God started putting a birth on my heart. I read the song Fanny Crosby wrote, "Draw Me Nearer."
Mm-hmm.
And man, I just that became probably my theme song for the month of November. Draw me near, O Lord.
Yeah, amen.
I attended a pastor's conference that my father does, Love Worth Sharing Pastor Appreciation, and there the Holy Spirit began to do something in my life. Then, when I got back from that conference, I was so excited about the Holy Spirit. I was excited and really didn't know all the ramifications of the functions of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. I just knew that God was pouring out His Spirit. Jesus Christ, that is the gospel that changed His lives. And, man, it was great. But my wife, God used my wife to speak something into my life. And
you're kidding.
Yeah.
my wife's taught me and trained me more than probably any other person in the world. So he does use them that way for sure. Amen. Praise God for our wives.
And she said something that changed my life, David. It was probably the highest point of our lives in ministry statistically.
Yeah.
But probably the lowest point in our relationship. No doubt it was. And And she said something to me. She said, Jeremiah, you live like Jesus in the pulpit.
Uh-oh.
But when you come home, you live like hell.
Good night.
And, brother, that broke my heart. And I started crying out, God, what? It seems like I've got everything going on. Being asked to preach at a revival every month and preaching church growth seminars. The convention was talking to me, the leaders in conventions, about evangelism, growth plans. But the whole time I was losing my wife and losing my children.
Huh.
And I started crying and praying to God. God, what am I missing in my life? And in January, I believe January the 14th of 2007, Dr. Dwayne Miller invited me to come to their church there at Cross Life to preach. And God did something so amazing in that service, supernatural. And I believe it was God's providence, timing in my life. I was seeking the Lord, wanting to know the truth. I just felt like there was something that I was missing.
Mm-hmm.
Something I was missing. And I got to a point where I didn't want to please man anymore. I wanted to please God.
Yeah.
And there in that service, the Lord poured out His Spirit. The pastor and another pastor prayed over me. And in that hotel room that night, I started thanking God for what He was doing, what He had done. And brother, before I knew it, 4.5 hours later, I'd been on the floor praising God. And I knew that the Holy Spirit, and it's a word that most Baptists are afraid of because of the terminology. And it's not because maybe they're afraid of, maybe they don't understand.
I think that's probably the case.
Baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And I like that word baptism because it's John the Baptist used it. It's probably the most accurate term in the Bible describing what the Holy Spirit can give a believer.
Yeah. To be immersed into, to be covered over with it.
And so for me, why is it such a controversy to talk about it? I don't understand. There's people can think the Bible can make it what they want it to say. And I wanted to look at the Bible and say, God, what does Your Word say?
Yeah.
I believe it's inspired, it's profitable from the very beginning to the very end. And I want not what man has told me or
right.
what a doctor has told me or great men of God, but God, I want to know from the King of Kings, from Your
Amen.
From Your Word, what does Your Word say about the subject of Holy Spirit? I was so excited about it. When I came home, I told my wife, but you know what had to take place for my wife to believe it?
She had to taste it herself, huh?
Yeah, she had to see the change in my life.
Sure.
You know, and over the last 5 years, she, well, 4 weeks ago, she came to me and she said, and she in tears, she just wrapped her arms around me and she said, that's what has made the difference in our lives for the last 5 years. I know that You're walking in the Spirit, and it's evident. And man, to hear that from your wife,
yeah.
Boy, that just did so much. I didn't care. For me, the first thing I noticed about the Holy Spirit in my life is I wasn't so much interested in statistics. I wasn't reaching success according to what man wanted to be approved. I wasn't wanting to grow the biggest church numerically. What I wanted, more importantly, was this, to be found pleasing
Amen.
To my God.
Yeah, hallelujah.
And brother, it has transformed my life. And this teaching for the last 7-8 weeks, we have seen this transformation take place in people's lives. Some have been believers for over 50 years. They're standing, lifting their hands, and they're praising God for the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And it's changing their lives. And someone said, well, does the baptism of the Holy Spirit save you? No, that's not what saves you. What saves you is faith in what Jesus Christ mm-hmm. has done. Salvation is God's. And yes, you need to be baptized into the body of Christ. And yes, you need to be baptized with water. I mean, Jesus did it.
Yeah.
So it is a pictorial baptism. So we go from a positional baptism to a pictorial baptism. But then baptism of the Holy Spirit is a power baptism. Brother,
baptism of power.
Christ did so much more than to redeem us when He died on the cross.
That's right.
He restored us, and then He wants to release us with power to be able to fulfill His ministry here on earth with the Holy Spirit. That is wonderful to think that.
There's something that you hit on, and when you begin to say it, you talked about the struggle of being in the pulpit, preaching the truth, preaching the word, seeing God change lives, but knowing that back at home, in the walls of your house, maybe more personally in your heart,
yeah.
there was
yes,
an internal struggle that was eating you up. I think that there are countless pastors that would claim, if they were honest, could be honest before us, and really don't have to be honest before us, honest before themselves and God, they're in the same position. They're struggling with the idea that they're the ones that are supposed to know how to do this. They're supposed to be able to talk the talk, walk the walk, live the life, you know, have the example, give you illustrations on how to overcome. And I, you know, just like Paul telling the church, you know, follow me. He was so in tune with this, with Jesus and the Spirit, that he could honestly tell somebody, you know, look at how I'm doing it. You can follow my example. So many pastors are struggling, and I think it harkens back to Galatians, and that battle between walking in the Spirit, walking in the flesh. And there has to be some transition, and it's a revelation thing, where God takes us from struggling in the flesh. I'm thinking about Paul in the second half of Romans chapter 7, crying out, "What a wretched man I am. Who can deliver me from this body of death?" He was struggling with what he knew in his heart and his mind. He wanted to please the Lord. At the same time, he didn't understand why he couldn't. And then there's a moment where something, the light switch happens. When that Holy Ghost, I'm going to get controversial, that Holy Ghost thing happens, right. and you jump tracks from, I don't know how to get there, to all of a sudden it becomes accessible now. Mm-hmm. And I just think there's so many preachers and pastors out there that are in that same spot,
right,
that struggle with that. And that's why our churches are struggling, because really, you know, God's going to do this from the top down. If the pastor isn't operating in the Spirit, you know, the power of the God's not going to move down into the from the pulpit into the pews. And so I see a lot of struggling churches and pastors that know that they've got to move to something else. There's something more real than this. There's something else I'm missing, but they just don't understand why they are where they are and how to get there. Mm-hmm. And my heart goes out to these men, because they love the Lord.
Right.
And they love these people that God has put under them, and they're struggling with, why can't I get from point A to point B where I so desire to be? And the difference, I believe you're exactly right, is they haven't fallen into the power of the Holy Spirit and given themselves over,
that's right,
to His work.
Right. And I tell you, what keeps people from embracing the Holy Spirit? Maybe fear of losing control.
I think that's a big one.
Fear of looking or being goofy. I want to submit to you, the Holy Spirit isn't goofy.
Yeah.
People are goofy.
Amen.
And I think we've been talking, the fear of the unknown. But the Bible speaks about it.
Yeah. And we can learn everything we need to know about it in those words. Thank you for coming in today. Let's tell you what, I want just to come back next week. I want to continue. Fear of losing control. Fear of the unknown. Let's pick up right there. Truth seekers, you come back next time around, because we've just started opening up a great word, something that you need to hear. Pastors, you need to hear what God's doing in the life of this man in this church, because it's the same story. You need it too, just like I do. Until next time, with Pastor Jeremiah, thank you for joining us, and you keep seeking the truth.
Thank you for listening to Truth Infusion. Please visit Truth Infusion Ministries on the web at truthinfusion.com. Once again, that's truthinfusion.com. We also would like to hear from our listeners. Email us truthinfusion@gmail.com.